Maniacs, hello. Episode 794. Hello. Woo.
Saying
welcome
woo a
to
lot
the
now.
Show.
I said woo a when lot now because I'm excited about, you know, upcoming events.
Yeah, we're going to be in Philly with Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Woo!
Do you think he's as excited to see us as we are to see him?
I think he's excited to see anybody who's excited to see him.
That is so true.
Right?
Yeah, some people really feed off of external validation, and I get the sense that Ric Flair is one of them.
I would imagine so. Yes.
I probably all WWE people.
Yeah.
I've been watching, by the way, I wasn't going to be talking about this because it's embarrassing, but I have been watching Dark Side of the Ring, which is Dark Side series that's about wrestling.
Yeah, I bet that's really interesting.
I'm starting to wonder if there's like a not dark side of the ring. It's like pretty bad.
But don't you think you could almost take any business that's in the limelight, like in the spotlight, and do a dark side of it? I could do dark side of the music industry. I could do dark side of reality television. Dark side of childhood stars. Dark side of podcasting world. I don't know. Maybe it's cutthroat out here. I haven't really experienced much of that, but I'm sure I can find it. I'm sure if I dig deep.
That's so true. Well, I think that with reality TV and wrestling, there's that added component of it's more of like a spectacle.
Yes.
And it's also more like requires, well, not that they have talent, obviously, but it's not like music where you have to be able to sing or something. You just can like learn all these moves and kind of like, you know, when a person decides they're going to be a football player or something, you just like bust your butt and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, all the steroids and the murders and because of the CTE and everything.
Yeah, I totally get it. It seems
insane. You know
what's
insane, though? Yeah. And one of the craziest things was that there is a guy whose name I don't have on my brain because I didn't know that I was going to talk about this deep, dark secret that I've been watching this. But he used to be a wrestler, and then he got a PhD in something and then started researching CTE.
Oh, wow.
And now he's one of the leading scholars on it. And
I love stories like that.
Yeah.
That
it's really cool.
People who understand both worlds, which is what I'm trying to do over here. Hey, I was on reality television, also went to school, learned about therapy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's well, because we it can really inspire you to like get to the bottom of what the heck is going wrong, I guess.
Yeah. We need
but
more of that.
Here's what maybe you can provide insight for me, because when I'm watching this, it is fascinating because it's the only thing where nobody says like this is fake.
Ah, right.
You know, but they kind of refer to the fact that like there are plots and storylines and like they know who the winner's going to be. But then they talk about like if somebody they'll get hurt for real. And how would you describe whether wrestling is like real or not real?
Like magic. You know what I mean?
Okay, right.
Like,
but like
all the magicians are in on it, and they're all under this spoken or unspoken contract to not give away any of the secrets or tell people that this is all sleight of hand or fake. We're just like going with this is magic. Would you say that's like similar? That's like part of it. They're like, in order to do it, you have to accept that you're going to be part of the show is convincing the audience of something that is not actually happening, but you're setting everything up to make it look like that for the audience. I feel like you could say that about magic or wrestling.
Yeah. And so you're saying we all know that magic isn't real. It's not like potions or, you know, true stuff. But every so often they kind of talk about wrestling like it's real.
And don't you think every now and then I talk about magic like it's real? You know how much I love that close-up magic sleight of hand.
Yeah, but you're not a magician. You're the spectator. So the actual people involved kind of act like it's real because maybe because they get real injuries.
I see what something. You mean. That they're, but
I'm just like, can we all get on the same page here?
Yeah. There's or maybe it's like stunt work in a way. I don't know. Something like that where there is a risk involved.
Of course. Do you think that it's like because sometimes people go rogue, like then they go off script. And so then it's like kind of real.
It's like ad-libbed improv wrestling. Probably.
Improv.
Like the story is fake, but the injuries are real. That, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would have to see how they act about it, but I think they probably agree with that.
Okay. That's good. Thank you for that insight.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is a good series though. It's on Hulu. That was not what I was going to bring up. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm living life. I was telling you before we pressed record that I went to a very boring opera, which I feel like maybe for some people it's a gratuitous statement or...
it's redundant.
Redundant, that's the word.
As opposed to all those exciting operas.
Right, right. But it was an opera where everybody was dressed in regular clothes, like... basically wearing what I'm wearing today. And I'm like, I didn't come here for this. I came here for the bells and whistles and fancy costumes and big wigs and the whole thing. And it was just a bunch of singing in German. And
yeah, because you have to ask yourself, like, if you're going to dress regular, why are you singing like that?
That's what I'm saying.
The singing is evocative. It refers to like a different time.
A bygone era. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like nobody's wandering around singing like that at like the grocery store.
So Although Eli and I just had a very expensive nap. Is what we had.
What did you wear? Let me ask you that.
You know, we would normally get a little more dressed up for this, but it was a matinee at 2 p.m. And we both were like, is this going to be a little more comfortable? So we went, I just went in like a sweater, which then after I left, realized I looked like a lot of the fishermen who were on stage with what I was wearing. I looked like an extra.
Characters.
Yeah. So I didn't wear anything too fancy. I do have this fabulous red skirt that I bust out every now and then. It's like long and cool and artsy. That's like my official opera skirt. But
did you wear that?
No, I did not. I have though, but this is not what I wore this evening.
Wow. You got like a siesta. It was like
And we were right on the edge. Yeah, it was. And we were right on the balcony, like right on the edge, like, you know, first row on the balcony. And when I fell asleep, I had my hands on my knees and I woke up and I felt like I was falling off of the edge. I had that feeling
scary.
Like you're falling. And I was like, and then I wondered how loud my gasp was. I was like, look cool, Sarah. Look cool.
You need to get some of those glasses.
The opera glasses?
Yeah.
Eli brought his binoculars.
You ever think about that?
We brought our binoculars.
For it.
Yeah. It's like I brought
them. That's great.
It's fun.
Were there other people there with the binoculars?
Not that we saw, but I didn't
well,
look.
You
I should next time
you had binoculars.
Right. I would have. But I was also sleeping for a good 25% of it. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what you shouldn't sleep on, and that is Thrive Cosmetics.
Oh, I just got my new order today.
I actually wanted to put this on Instagram. My two current favorites are the primer.
Oh, I've been looking at that.
Setting spray.
Oh, those are the two I think most important and often forgotten about pieces of the makeup. Because I'm always like, how do I keep it from dripping down my face? And like, you know, by the end of the day, it's like not in the same place. Oh, good setting spray. It totally works.
Yeah.
Yeah, love.
Yeah, and the primer that I got is the illuminating one, so it's got like this sheen.
Yeah.
I just think it is something special.
Ooh, I love
that.
But
all their stuff is amazing. Did you try their peptide gloss yet?
Ooh, no,
it's
have not
tried. It's a plumper.
I love a plumper. Yes.
We love it. Yeah, we need a plump pout. And their lip plumping peptide gloss is great. The mascara, of course, we never shut up about it. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back because they donate products and funds to help communities thrive, which we love. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/braincandy. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/braincandy for 20% off your first order. Yeah. If you forget about that code, though, you can check on our website. I'm always updating it for your convenience.
Yes.
Okay. So the opera was boring.
Mm-hmm.
That is an expensive nap. A bummer.
Yeah, but what else?
Yeah, maybe it just went into your brain and gave you sweet dreams, though. You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, first up, we got to talk about Wendy Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that series?
Like her
show? The docuseries?
No.
I should have specified the docuseries that just came out on her.
I didn't watch the docuseries yet, but I heard a report on the docuseries, like on what's going on with her. And yeah, so fill me in.
Okay. Well, so you did watch the talk show? Were you a fan?
No, I mean, I've caught bits and pieces of it here and there.
Yeah.
But
well, okay. So what I want to say about it is I think it was 4 episodes. And mm-hmm. when they began filming, it was under this, you know, umbrella of Wendy, you know, she had gone through some hard times. Like her husband had fathered a child outside of their marriage. And then she, as a result, she started drinking and like things started to spiral. Mm-hmm. So then she lost the show and she, I think, went to rehab and stuff like that. But it was evident that something wasn't right. And she was in trouble. But she was like desperate to make a comeback. Mm-hmm. And so the documentary series was supposed to be chronicling that, this attempt of her to get back on TV.
Yeah.
And so they began, and then over the filming, it became clear that she was suffering from probably still alcoholism actively.
Oh.
And also these cognitive issues that were making her volatile and like abusive and also just not comprehensible.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
she would not make sense.
Coherent, right.
Yeah. And so then eventually towards the end of filming, I guess, the son that she has, who's an adult, but he's a young man, said that he had gone to all of her doctor's appointments over the last few years, and that they had said she had this mm-hmm. alcohol-induced dementia.
Oh,
and that's why she was having these lapses and stuff.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's Ooh. Absolutely compelling to watch. But of course, people are saying now that the process was exploitative and it shouldn't have happened, and that these documentarians were taking advantage and all of that. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that and get your thoughts, given that they were unaware when they started.
Yeah.
Like, what are the ethics of that if something becomes clear after you've been filming for quite a long time?
And I had heard that it was her people that put this out there.
Well, and to me, that was the part that was notable, is that what I took away is that the exploitative part is this team of people who are
right.
basically like Weekend at Bernie-ing her.
Yeah.
Like
she's in a conservatorship.
Acting like everything's
right?
fine. Yeah. She
yeah.
has a conservatorship, but she has like a manager, an agent, a publicist.
Right.
They're all in it and being like, no, she's fine.
Oh, no.
Like they keep
yeah.
minimizing what we can
yeah,
all see with our eyes.
That seems exploitative.
Yeah. So do you feel like.
I don't think it's the fault of the documentarian to. That's often how a lot of documentaries are like that. Dear Zachary
yeah.
was like that. The Jinx was like that, where things happen through the course of the documentary that.
But people would say that what became clear was that she was incapable of consenting.
Uh-huh.
So how can you continue filming and release it when it's clear that someone's not all there? I don't know what to say about it. That's a really tough one.
I would have to know like when the agreement was made and what those conditions were and who's signing those contracts.
When Wendy wanted to do it.
Yeah. And if it in some way helps her, like help people recognize the way that she's being mistreated by those around her, that seems like the most helpful thing and a really positive thing that could come out of it.
Yeah. People and it like also
advocating
is clear that,
for her.
Like the court appointed conservator. So it's somebody outside of her family, outside of her team, whatever. This, whoever that person is, clearly was failing. I don't know if they've reassigned someone else, but whoever that person was, she's lucky she was still alive by the end of this thing because I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Really?
Yes. I felt bad because I don't want her to feel, I don't want her to have been exploited, but I did feel glad that I watched it because it felt so I got to see what someone in that position, like how they behave, what it really looks like. Because I think it's really hard to convey that just through a description.
It's hard like, for me to even imagine it right now.
When one of her medical issues, I forget the name of it, it's something that causes, like, they call it bulging eyes.
Yeah.
But that symptom throughout the film was just so jarring because it really put you couldn't ignore that something was wrong. So the fact that all these people were ignoring it was just like, whoa, what people will do to famous people to get their money.
That's really, really scary.
Yeah. But here's another thing I think you'll find interesting. Yeah. You know how like she became famous for being this provocateur and you know
saying
like,
kind of mean things. She's talked shit about me.
What?
Yeah. Either that or somebody clipped it together, but there was a clip of her talking about people from the challenge.
Oh, those are fake.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I think she talked shit on me. That's what it looked like.
Yes, but it's believable.
Oh my God, somebody doctored up a fake Wendy Williams video just to talk some shit. Wow, okay.
I've seen them. Well, I've had one done about me, but I'm not famous enough for me to think it could be. But your situation with Johnny was so publicized that it wouldn't surprise me.
Why not?
Yeah.
And when one of my...
I love how it didn't even faze you.
Nah, I'm like, what am I going to do? Complain? Like, and then when one of my co-hosts is like a regular on her, not co-host, one of my old castmates is a regular on her show, Devin, I was like, that could totally be a real thing.
Totally.
Right?
Okay,
so
well,
I just went with
that. To you for not letting it get under your skin. I would have been really upset if Wendy Williams genuinely talked shit about me. Anyway, the reason why it's believable is because that was part of her show, this like Hot Topic thing or whatever they called it. And she would just trash people and she was fearless. And I think it was very refreshing because everyone kisses everybody's ass in Hollywood, at least publicly.
Yeah.
But like she became the gossip though. She's always been obsessed, she says, with celebrity gossip her whole life. And she like
and now
can't
she
get enough of it. And then her husband had this baby with somebody else. And then she couldn't take it. And I wonder if she regrets having talked shit all that time about everybody and then felt what it was really like.
I'm sure. But
she hasn't shared that, but
it's, that's a tough one. Cause to me, it almost seems like a coping strategy to begin with. That you would probably just lean more into that when you're in that position. It's the only thing
she
you
was
know.
Still leafing through like Us Weekly and the filmmaker was like, you know, do you really enjoy like celebrity gossip? She was like, I love it.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, clearly she hasn't kicked that habit either.
Right. I get it. I do feel really sad for what she's experiencing. Isn't it similar to what Bruce Willis is going through, the aphasia as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they say that the difference between it and regular dementia, I don't know what regular dementia would be called, but the sort of typical dementia is that instead of just having memory loss, you have a personality change, and it's usually not a nice change. It's a mean thing, and you become kind of abusive.
Oh,
and that's so sad.
Okay, that's my new worst nightmare.
You're getting more specific with your fears.
Yeah, I don't want
cognitive,
that one.
Yeah, it's really scary. And in her case, it was from this extreme alcoholism.
Okay, good. I can control that.
Yeah.
I feel like there are other things in there too. Just, it seems like maybe some medication. I mean, I don't want to make assumptions, but it feels like maybe.
I really would encourage you to watch it because I think you would find it really enlightening. Yeah.
Definitely.
Because it's so many different elements that we find interesting, sort of like the celebrity stuff and then the brain function stuff.
Yeah.
And then the questions of like ethics among people that want to talk about it, even us. Like, how do you talk about it and share, but be ethically responsible?
I was thinking the same thing, even having this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it can devolve into just clickbait, shock, whatever. Because believe me, it was shocking.
Wow. Wow, this is...
What else is shocking is how few people are getting therapy, and they ought to be all getting it. Because
we all need it.
And the Brain Candy Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. So that's what we're going to tell you about. BetterHelp, it's a great option if you want to give it a whirl.
We're super talking convenient. Fast. Yeah. Like, you get signed up and you have an appointment quickly. Not like when you try to get it and they're like, oh, we'll see you in 5 months. It's like, I'm not even going to have the same problems by then.
Yeah. There's usually like waiting lists and delays. And this is a great option if you're like ready to go.
Yeah.
Sarah and I have both used it. Mm-hmm. And had really good experiences. It's super flexible and convenient. And they have people that can help you with whatever it is that you're struggling with. Relationships, stress, grief. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/braincandy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/braincandy. Yeah, I would recommend it. And it's a fascinating look at all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But I wish her well, and I hope she gets the care that she needs.
When did her show go off the air? When did she stop?
I think
in my mind, she's like still on there. It felt like
I think it was like 2018,
it's
somewhere in
been
there.
A while. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real mess.
Wow.
Okay. You know how Hershey's chocolate is disgusting.
Totally. I do not like it. And every time I'm like, ugh, what is this, wax?
It really is disgusting. But like, we've got no choice in the matter. So we've all just sort of gone along with this.
And it's gotten worse.
Or maybe your tastes have improved, you know?
Oh, God, I hope. Maybe
that's it. Because that happens to me a lot. Or like stuff from my childhood. I'm like, it's delicious. And then I'll try it again. I'm like, that is foul.
Yeah, that's garbage.
Well, so there's this sort of, I don't know if you call it a conspiracy theory or what, but there is this rumor or like legend that Hershey's uses this chemical in their chocolate that...
Go on.
It's called something like butyric acid butyric acid or something. And it's a chemical that's found in rancid butter, Parmesan cheese, and unfortunately, vomit. And
that's what I'm about to do, thinking about eating Hershey's chocolate.
And that some people believe this is why some people think it tastes like vomit. And a lot of Europeans that try American chocolate are like, why does it taste like vomit?
What? And so
that it's like this thing that like naturally occurs in milks and things.
Okay.
And they claim that they do not add this butyric acid or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I think this is a deal where they keep saying the word, we don't add it.
Right.
But it's like naturally occurring.
Yeah.
In certain
one of their things already has it.
Yeah. Like the milk.
Yeah.
And so I think that that we've solved that mystery. And I think they should just admit it.
They never will. A lot of stuff tastes different in other countries. Oreos taste so much better in Europe.
Maybe they have vomit in there too.
It feels like there's something not good.
Although I'm a real big fan of Oreos. So what are you talking about?
I know. I love them too. I love them. But
you're telling me they're better abroad?
Yes. Yes. When I was, that was my last thing I got at the airport when we were leaving Croatia. And I was like getting rid of my pocket change and euros and like didn't want to take it up. So I got two packs of Oreos. They were so good.
Oh my gosh.
And I slowly rationed them out one at a time too. Yeah. We need European.
You'd pace yourself.
Yeah, I did. And I was in control of that. Gave Eli one at a time. And he's like, I'm so glad that you're doing it this way. Bag and box. I combined those two words. The bag would have already been gone if I had let him be in charge before we get off the tarmac.
I feel, though, that this is a blessing in disguise because the last thing I need is for Oreos to be better.
Oh, man. It's like chocolatier.
I love them already.
They taste like less chemically.
Creamy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. More real.
Okay. Well, they may be part of this, you know, scam going on because there's also this thing where like you can kind of create the acid through certain types of baking and cooking processes.
Okay.
So like they might be doing that and then they're like, what? We don't add it. Okay. But you maybe create it.
Right. Yeah. That's a semantics like wordplay thing where they're like, I've done that. I know that trick.
Right. Like, please, you can't trick a tricker.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's this other thing where like, you know, these companies are like, I can't tell you how we do it. It's a trade secret.
I'm looking at you, glitter company. Glitter. I still want to know who your number one like consumer of the glitter. They won't say.
Yeah. Top secret.
Top secret. I think about that. That's my Roman Empire.
Is the glitter.
I think about that weekly.
What is it that haunts you about it?
That they won't say who they're, even though we can assume it's the auto companies. And then,
yeah, is it the who's, they won't say who's the, what, provider?
The number one, like, purchaser of, like, who they're making it all for. And some people said maybe it's, like, beaches in fancy places that are, like, sprinkling it in the sand or something. That was, like, a theory. But I said no because of the plastics that would end up in the fish. They wouldn't let that happen. So.
Okay. So you think it's automakers with that paint, that shiny, glittery paint.
And now they...
But why would it be... Why was it such a secret, though?
I don't know.
But see, like, if it were... I feel like if it were automobiles, it wouldn't be a big secret.
Because, like, a bunch of dudes don't want glittery Chevy trucks.
Oh, my gosh. You think this is just, like, machismo that's preventing
it? I don't know.
It?
Why else are they keeping it all hush-hush?
Yeah. Sarah's asking the important questions.
I am. I think about this all the time. This was like a long time ago. We talked about glitter in a podcast episode. I think you told
me. Yeah, I remember.
It's an article somewhere.
Yeah. Would you say that you love glitter?
I would say I love the look of glitter. I would not say I love glitter once it is in its loose form.
Yeah.
I like a glittery thing.
You like the
thing.
Sparkle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sparkly nail polish, but mm-hmm. loose. And then, like, I can remember times when I used to bite my nails with nail polish on, and then you get like glitter, and then I would have like glitter stuck in my teeth from biting my nails. With, yeah. So
that is rock bottom.
Rock bottom. Yeah. I have quit biting my nails. That has been a long
What's
time
your
goal
secret
of mine.
To quitting?
I don't know. It was like
That's
spontaneous
hard.
Remission.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of a sudden I'm like, ugh, that sounds disgusting.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's great. I hope that keeps up.
Me too.
Because compulsions are not easy to stop.
I had a theory, though. This is going to sound crazy, but I noticed, because I was like tracking, when do I bite my nails more frequently? And I would always mm-hmm. bite my nails when I was like on my period or dealing with pain. And I didn't even realize.
Oh my gosh, Sarah.
That, yeah. I think that I did it as a way to distract me from other pain that I was experiencing regularly. And now that that pain is gone, I'm not using that anymore. That's the only, because it stopped after I had my surgery.
That's really wild.
I could see that being a connection, right? We've talked about how it like releases a little bit of serotonin or dopamine or whatever when people who like nail bite, and how that could be something that I've used to like self-soothe from pain.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because the only other possibility, if it really is like a sudden onset right. remission, whatever you say,
right.
the only other possibility is that there was some chemical yeah. your brain was creating in conjunction, like hormones yes. or whatever, that it incited that.
Increase that compulsion. Right.
Why would that be?
I don't know. But it is sense that,
but
like,
I bet you.
I've never, like, nothing. Like, not even my cuticles. Like, what the hell? That's not me. Who is it? I'm looking down and I'm like,
you
I don't even recognize whose hands these are.
That's funny.
So weird.
That's a funny idea that, like, all of a sudden you're like, who's that?
I'm like,
who's there? Oh, it's me.
Nails are these? Oh, my, they're mine. What? So
keep me
anyways,
posted on
I
that
will.
Because I am intrigued.
Yeah, me too. I think I
had thought, you know, concluded that, and I had read that this is a very common trait of people with ADHD.
Yeah.
And other like neurodivergent, whatever.
Yeah.
So I wonder why that would, maybe that's not why you are doing it.
Right. Who knows?
That's really cool. I hope it lasts.
I know. I hope so too. We'll see. Come back, watch right, one just, scary movie and come back with no nails.
Yeah, right. That's the true test.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me finish up my vomit story, which
oh,
is.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Excuse me. Get back to
no,
vomit.
No, just how like, Hershey's is always very mysterious about their like proprietary secret, whatever. Right. And that in this book about Hershey's chocolate, this author said that they were innovators, you know, gazillion years ago, when they were trying to figure out how to make chocolate shelf stable and also uh-huh. transportable without like melting all over the place.
Yeah.
And that their trick to doing that was to spoiling the milk ever so slightly. And that something about that, making it ever so slightly spoiled, created this chemical reaction that allowed yeah. the chocolate to whatever. And I'm just saying,
science,
that
man.
Could definitely make it taste like vomit, too.
Yeah, I'm like, spoiled milk? Yeah, that, look, start there. Huh, I wonder what tastes bad. Could it be the thing that's spoiled in our ingredients? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
So there
there's something about, ever since learning how to use an espresso machine, I've learned a lot about milk, oddly enough, that, because mm-hmm. I couldn't understand why I would get a latte and it would taste sweet. And then when I would add regular milk to my coffee, it wouldn't. But there's something that happens in the process of steaming it where you like break up the glucose or you, I don't know what you're doing to the glucose that's in milk, and it makes it sweet. And it, It's like steamed milk is sweet, but not steamed milk isn't. And it's crazy what you can do by adding, like, you know, putting it through, like, this is like
chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
It's totally
yeah,
wild.
So Hershey's, so it makes sense, we're on to you. Sarah or... knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not good.
I'll tell you what's not spoiled, and that is Liquid IV. That is fresh as a daisy.
Keeping me alive.
Keeping us all alive, because Liquid IV is just a powder you can pour into your water to get hydrated. They have a million flavors, pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, all this stuff. They have kids
ones. Tropical Punch is my favorite. Sometimes I'm a big fan of strawberry too.
Yeah, you can. That's the thing. I go through phases.
Yeah, same.
Where like, yeah. And you can take it to the gym, keep it in your car, pack it when you travel. So convenient. No artificial sweeteners and zero sugar in that sugar-free.
Yes.
And vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code CANDY at checkout. It's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code CANDY at liquidiv.com.
Woo!
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
Away from VOM. Okay. Let's see. I mean, that just briefly, that silly, Willy Wonka thing that went viral is a real hoot.
Oh my God. Okay. I was waiting for you to bring this up because yeah. Eli and I went to an experience in Denver that was done. I don't know if it was the same company or if it was like in some way connected.
Was this the Halloween one?
Yes, it was the Tim Burton experience. We were so disappointed. It was a joke. And it did not, Eli sent me all the stuff on Instagram on this Willy Wonka experience. It was the same. We were not surprised at all. It felt, and we had paid like $40. We got one cocktail that was so disgusting and sugary and weird. And then I think one piece of like Starburst candy after answering some Tim Burton trivia. And then they did a, what was it? Like a scavenger hunt, but, and you'd go to, it would be these list of clues. And then you'd walk around the room and try to find like what the clue was.
Sarah,
and then there would be a little stamp, but the stamps were all out of ink. And so you couldn't even, and then if you collected like five stamps, you traded in for the piece of candy, but you couldn't even see any of the stamps because they had no ink left in them. So people were just like, I found him, but here's my card.
It was like and honor system.
It was so poorly run. Such a Eli and I said it was worth every penny because we got to tell so many people about how bad it was and for
that's
the story.
That's how I feel. Like it does live up to the hype because it is an experience. It's unforgettable.
It is unforgettable.
When they're that bad.
Oh my.
I just don't get, in the case of the Willy Wonka one, because I'm sure you've seen the photos.
Oh yeah.
And I just think, because they had AI like create all the marketing. So the AI marketing, it looked truly like Candyland, like it's wonderful, magical place. And then once it became clear that that was not the reality, how did the organizers think that this was going to be, people were going to be fine with it?
I honestly don't know. It was Fire Festival for Willy.
For
it was
children.
So bad. Like I have
so
ordered before, like, you know, you those backdrops, I've ordered them and I, you know, you go online and they come in a range of sizes. And maybe you go on Etsy and you type in candy backdrops and then it looks like it's only $19.99. So you throw that in your cart and then that gets delivered and you did not see that it was 3 feet by 5 feet or 2 feet by 3 feet. And that's what it looks like they did is they did not check the size of what that backdrop would be. You would have to be an Oompa Loompa in order to fit in the backdrop.
Did you see those Oompa Loompas?
I mean, that one woman like I, the part I feel bad about is like now they were getting interviewed and stuff, and she looked like she was on meth.
In the interview or just at the place?
No, at the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was not
looking. She said she was trying to make the best of it.
Hey.
But to me, she looked like Rachel Dratch in the sketch on SNL that was, you know, Debbie Downer.
Yeah, she totally like, did. Right.
But
right.
Would you have tried to make the best of it or would you have been like, I am out of here? If you were hired to be an Oompa Loompa.
If I were somebody trying to build my resume as an actor in whatever area you're trying to do that in, you just go, yep, this is the weird thing I'm doing today.
This is the gig.
This is the gig.
Yeah.
And you just are like, okay, because they're not going to know what it looks like on your resume. Now they will, but, you know, you could have just put Oompa Loompa actor at the, you know, whatever, and like, just building the resume.
Did you ever have any gigs like this? Not this bad, but just something where you're like, this is cringy.
I feel like I did. Well, I'd say the only thing that was close to that, and it's not in any way close to this. The only thing where I was like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed and I'm not doing this is, I mean, people forget that when you're somebody on reality television, mm-hmm. who's also in college, like I was going to school at the same time. So one season when I have to work and I have to get a job. So I worked at the, climbing gym at the rec center at school. And this is it in between challenges, which means a challenge was airing on TV. So I'm on a challenge and my boss, and I'm getting paid like $8 an hour or something insanely dumb like that. Mm-hmm. And my boss was like, here, I want you to pass out these flyers on campus. And
it's horrible.
There is no way in hell I am going to, as somebody currently on TV that's popular with this crowd, and I'm 10 years older than everybody at school, I am not going to go hand out flyers for the mixer at the rec center. No.
No.
Get one of the 19-year-olds to do this, I will quit.
Yeah.
And I don't even care if that sounded like, I probably said it much nicer, but in my mind, I was like, fuck this. I'd rather throw them all up in the air and walk away. And I hate litter.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really saying something.
Right.
I pretty much every time I was ever booked as Susie from The Challenger, Susie from Road Rules, it's been like that where,
oh God.
Like it'll be like a club or a university or something. And then like, there's nobody there.
Oh God.
One time Chadwick and I were booked and we were in the green room and they were acting like this was legit. And then they introduced us into this huge auditorium and there were two people.
No.
Why would you do that?
Why would you even have you in the green room? Just like that. It's so insulting.
Like, it was so embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's not even insulting. It's embarrassing. It's like, this is the crowd I pull. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But you don't know. You don't know if like, did they even promote this? How did,
right.
What went on?
Your
before
face
I got
is just
here?
On the poster. Not much, Suze. I'm thinking not much. That is embarrassing.
It's the worst.
But I've never been forced. I will say one of the other worst gigs I have, I don't even think this made it on air. I was on The Real World and one of the girls on our cast, Devin, she was modeling for this pageant dress company. And so I think about this a lot. And so they were like, we need other people, we want all of you guys to like model these pageant dresses, but they had a no tattoo policy. So they got me tattoo cover up because they were like, oh, we want Sarah to do this job too. And I covered up my whole sleeve of tattoos, then went and tried on these very expensive pageant dresses.
No, no.
Guess what happened?
No. Yeah.
Exactly what you think. And then I had to just like pretend like, and then they put me in all the mother of the bride dresses because those are the ones that I can fit into because I was not a size 2 or a size 4. I'm like a 6'8" and not fitting into the same ones that the teeny tiny girls on our show are fitting into. I wore all the mother brides, which were long sleeved. So then I have to like stick my, the worst. And I'm like, I'm not, you guys wanted me to do this. I'm not going to sit here and say I shouldn't be doing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we got paid something for it. Like, or maybe didn't, I don't fucking know, but I mean, mortified.
Did you get a lot of people during that time asking for favors? Cause I got a lot of that where people would be like, can you come speak at our church? Can you come speak at our school for $0?
Oh.
Like as a favor.
I got a few of those, not too much.
I really resented it because it was never appreciated. Like it was like never enough. Oh, okay. Can you meet the students after at this like hot dog shop? Like it was always more and more. And half the time you think the students don't even want me there. This is your imagination.
Right. And it's like one person who's a big fan and now you're being paraded around campus. It's embarrassing.
God.
Because we're not that famous.
Yeah. So whenever that Oompa Loompa thing came up, I wasn't like, that's awful. I was just like, this is relatable.
Right. This is the gig. This is the work. This is embarrassing. Here we are.
Remember
right.
Remember when I had to give out light bulbs?
Oh my God. That's so funny.
At like state fairs and stuff.
Yeah, for the new energy bills.
That was $30 an hour, though, Sarah.
That's
like,
really good. Hey, heck, I'll take that.
Well, especially because I'm not digging ditches here. I'm just like giving people free light bulbs.
Right. That's pretty good.
I'm like talking myself back into it. I'm like, yeah, that was a sweet gig.
Like, do they need somebody to sell light bulbs this summer or something? At a fair? I could do that.
You know what? This time around, I would give out Nutrafol, and here's why. Because it's life-changing.
It really
Nutrafol
is
where it's at.
When you feel like you are experiencing hair thinning and shedding, it sets in a panic. Right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Ugh.
And that's why, I think it was on Things We Got Wrong. I talked about that article where the woman who had cancer said like, that was the worst symptom for her of the treatment and how nobody will engage it because it seems superficial.
Yeah.
But it's so tied to our identity. So if you
really
feel
is.
Like out of control and this is just happening to you, Nutrafol can help you get empowered again because this is a actually science-based, doctor-recommended supplement to help you get that thickness and hair growth cooking. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code BRAINCANDY to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere. It's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BRAINCANDY. I use it. It works. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Okay. Did you watch on Netflix the American Conspiracy, the Octopus Murders?
I sure did.
What are your thoughts? I sure did. This is a synopsis if anybody hasn't watched it. I guess it would fall into true crime. But it's implies or says that there's a global cabal of conspiracies of governments and organizations and the FBI and Department of Justice and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it hinges on the suicide, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Of a journalist who was getting to the bottom of all of this, like almost on accident.
Yeah.
And then he turned up dead and everyone wants to know if it was foul play or what.
It's hard for me to not think it was foul play.
Yeah.
I mean, the conditions upon which he died, that is not in line with any sort of attempt to take somebody's life in a, or one's own life in a usual way like that. It just didn't line up. It's kind of like when somebody
predicted it.
And if you say to your brother and best friend and partner a week before, if something happens to me, it wasn't an accident.
An accident. Yeah.
It was a murder.
Yeah. Somebody who says that doesn't take their own life.
Right. Exactly. Right? It did not seem, and I just don't, it made me think, how can this film even get made? And how, and why aren't the filmmakers worried about their own life? Is it like long enough after the certain people have been in power, like Reagan was in power, that they think nothing will come from it because it's been so long?
I mean, maybe. Or maybe they just are willing to take that risk. But I knew I was going to like it because it was a produced by the Duplass brothers, who also made Last Stop Larima, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
And I really liked their taste, so I knew I'd be into it. But it really was like, I couldn't kind of zone out at all. I had to just like really pay attention because it was so complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to really pay attention.
Yeah. And it's even after I'm like, wait, what? Who's that? And what did he do? In general, I just am curious, like bigger picture. Basically, if you believe what this documentary series is proposing, you're essentially saying that the whole world is all rigged and like there's all this shady dealing and nothing says it seems. It's almost like an all or nothing proposal.
It really
is. Where you either say this is silliness or you're a conspiracy theorist now.
I know.
But what do you think? Like, do you think...
The thing that really got to me, there was one scene where a woman is talking about with she's a reporter and a very credible reporter. And she was talking with one of the suspects in this, or somebody on the inside who had a lot of information, and he played her two different versions of JFK being shot. And that, when she says she knows what she saw, and I mean, maybe this guy had the ability to doctor up a fake video of that. I don't know. But her certainty of seeing a different video of being shown a different video than the actual one that that the public knows is something that's hard to shake for me.
Well, right. So in the one that everyone's seen, we all know what that footage is, but what was she saying was in the one that she saw? It was
in the one she saw, the driver turns around and shoots him. And in the one that they show on television or to the public, that's not there. But the thing that you have to look at is the tree that's floating in the background with no trunk connected to the ground, which is
Like if you watch the Zapruder film that you've already seen and you look in the background, according to her, there's this tree that's like floating.
Yeah.
Because the tape's been doctored, but on the quote unquote real one, it's normal tree.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing I don't get. There's like a lot of people that were there that day.
Right.
And nobody was like, the driver turned around and shot him.
Right. That's
there were eyewitnesses, you know what I mean? And so like, I don't doubt that she saw something weird.
Right. But that's why I feel like maybe he made that up. Maybe you just have characters in this documentary that
they make you question what you think you know. Yeah.
They're the kind of people who are so fucking smart, like, you know, you hear about the hackers that then get picked up by the CIA to work because they're like, we'd rather have you work on the inside for us
because you're too much of a danger.
Yeah, they're too much, but they're usually found from being bad guys.
Unethical hackers.
Unethical. And then they're like, hey, come work for us. We'll pay you more and we won't put you in jail. And it, so you get these people who are so smart, but maybe their moral compass isn't always pointing towards good. Mm-hmm. And they enjoy almost stirring the pot a little or making, or maybe believing their own conspiracies. But there were just a few characters like that who made you question the whole thing.
Are you inclined to believe, though, that there's this whole underworld of American government globally?
Yes. Here's
that
why.
That is pulling the strings. Okay.
Yes, here's why. I remember being really into the show House of Cards. And I have a friend who worked in DC, who was a lobbyist and lived in DC, worked in DC, one of the smartest people I know. And I asked them, what do you think about House of Cards? Are you loving it or what? And they were like, I can't even watch that because it's too close to the truth. It feels like fiction to other people. Fiction to other people.
And what was the essence of what the narrative?
That people are like throwing people in front of trains to cover up things, and like that crimes happen that get covered up, and people are and lives are lost to fight for the quote unquote greater good or whatever. And she was like, nope.
Yeah, because this was arguing that even like the Iranian hostages that Reagan campaigned on were held. They were detained intentionally so that Jimmy Carter would lose and Reagan would win. And that, you know, the Iran-Contra stuff was all like part of this big global plan.
And we know
part of that's
real.
But then you consider the fact that like Trump and all these people who claim to be, you know, like shaking things up for better or worse, they're not great at keeping secrets.
That
and
is very true.
He has access to everything. And I just think like,
that is very true. Yeah, that's a really good point.
But maybe they just like didn't tell him.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
They're giving
I'm
him
saying,
like, they're
like
giving him
like,
the other
get
doctor
a load of
tape.
This.
Like, yeah. Like some bait and switch that, yeah. And it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Now, it is confusing. And now I wish we had a time machine to go like 10 years into the future to just see like a little more cognitive decline and maybe all the secrets will be out.
You think there's still time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like if he goes in again to office, then he might be like, he has nothing to lose then.
And if he all mysteriously right. dies, then 100% definitely guaranteed.
That's the other thing. There's a lot of people that never die that like you would think. Even Barack Obama, I thought, boy, that guy is sitting duck. I mean, a lot of people wanted to not have him as president. And so it's always amazing to me when these people just keep on keeping on.
Well, thank goodness.
In the midst of all, I know, but in the midst of all this thing, like this documentary that makes you feel like there is somebody on every corner, whatever. But it's like, these guys are doing okay. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's real confusing.
Yeah, but I've been watching the show Fargo on FX. I think it's on FX. And that's fiction. But so many people are murdered in that show that I think it's just kind of like, I've been watching Sopranos or something like that. And I'm like, everybody's guilty and suspicious in my mind, you know.
Yeah,
everyone's a criminal.
I mean.
So I feel like maybe this could be a little bit influenced by my recent binging habits that were very murder heavy.
The filmmaker or the Yeah. The guy that sort of was looking into all this on that docuseries, he was saying how that it's changed how he sees the world, and he's very skeptical now and doesn't just accept things or whatever. I think that's probably a good lesson that like maybe just continue using critical thought. Don't just accept what people say. I don't think you should necessarily become somebody who's like questioning everything, but just sort of like push.
And if you do, if you are inclined to be somebody who's questioning everything, what I really wish is that these people who are so invested in uncovering the truth would spend some of that energy towards maybe a political science degree and then becoming part of government themselves to ensure these things don't happen, or to really like bring awareness at a bigger level.
This is what they say inspired Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to become a politician, and now he's running for president and is on this anti-vax thing. And a lot of people connect the dots from the assassination of his father and that shook the foundation for him and made him think that a lot of things are not as they seem. And so it has made him very cynical and skeptical about like science and the experts and who you trust. That. I'm just saying it can, it's a slippery slope, right?
It is a slippery slope. Let's like, if, as long as we're like rooted all in the same science.
Isn't that the idea of the Matrix though? Like, do you want to know everything, but like you have to learn like really terrible things, or would you rather like ignorance is bliss?
Right.
One of those pills.
Yeah.
Which pill one do you like?
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
Fucking A. Well, it almost feels like we have to go through this path towards acceptance of how things are. Like, when we get the awareness and when we have the information, it can feel really like, I don't know, chaotic and scary at first. And then I think, like, with the more you know, the more I feel like this is like what like Buddhist monks experience, where it's like, I just have to like surrender and just laugh and know that like I can't really control anything. And where I don't know, it's just like an acceptance of what's in your control and what's out of your control. And that maybe comes through the chaos and disease and uncomfortable feelings that knowing brings. And then you have to like come out the other end. If you get stuck in that knowing a whole bunch and then being weighted down by the anxiety of it all and don't move through that place of like acceptance and like surrendering in a way, then that can be terrifying.
Be torturous.
That is where, and feels like the older I get, the more I move towards that acceptance place. But I definitely felt more of the anxiety of, I can't, what are we going to do? Everybody needs to know, when I was younger, maybe early 30s.
Right.
But now that I'm a woman in menopause, Susie, I am wiser.
I told my mom how you keep referring to yourself as a menopausal woman.
Yes. Like, I will continue to do this for forever. Because if I don't, then people are annoying. Like, I just went to the, I had allergic reaction to something, and my eye swelled up and it was all itchy. And so I did like a little telehealth urgent care. And you'd think they would look through the notes, because she asked me when was the date of my last period. I was like, well,
I'm so sick.
Two months ago and never again, ever. And she's like, okay. And like this might, the doctor, like, look at the notes. It was 6 weeks ago.
I want them to quit bothering me about that. Like, I know that it's like an important vital, what do they call it? Right. Vital, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like that cartoon where you could be, or what it was, a tweet or something where like you could be coming in with like a severed limb and they would still be like, when was the date of your last period?
It doesn't matter. That's so good. It doesn't. This is not what I'm here for. Like, oh, but it's like my eye is itchy and my period has nothing to do with it, but also never again.
Right. Stop blaming my period.
Right.
We've said too much.
So I've said, as a menopausal woman, I'm going to just announce it that everywhere I go.
All right. We've covered a lot. Dark Side of the Ring. Didn't see that coming. But yeah. Susie's into wrestling, evidently. Ric Flair, I'm coming for you.
Woo.
Get ready. Wendy Williams.
Oh,
fascinating.
Yeah. Good documentary review.
Ethically dubious. Hershey's Chocolate, also ethically dubious.
Also dubious. Yeah, Willy Wonka, this is just experience. A bunch of... this episode should be titled Scandal, Scandals, Scandals, and Scandals.
Do you want me to call it that?
Sure.
Okay, I'll do it. Just for this one time.
That's a great scandal.
I'm writing down that title. Okay, yeah. So a lot of scandals, a lot of scams, a lot of nonsense, but a lot of good content. So yeah. I was happy to watch it all.
Yeah. And good things for me to put on my to watch. This is a big change up because last week you gave me a list of just in our text messages to each other, a list of all these comedians and like stand up bits to watch. And now this is a very different week for Sarah's television. So
it's a roller coaster over here. You never know.
Thanks, Sue. It's mixing
it
up. I like
it. Are we gonna cry?
Yeah. Are we gonna
be terrified? Everybody, thanks as always for listening and supporting us. We love you the most. Bye.
Bye.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.